Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
The former Minister of State for Disabilities, Anne Rabbitt, is with me in studio today. She was first elected to the Dáil for the Galway East constituency in 2016, has served in public office ever since, lost her seat in the election in November, but has been appointed to the Seanad by Taoiseach Micheál Martin. And this is the first time you've spoken publicly since you lost your Dáil seat. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine. I probably was too busy trying to go around the country getting votes out of councillors to try and get elected to the Seanad, of which I lost out by 1.4 of a vote. But at the same time, I hadn't time up to this, Andrea.
We appreciate you coming in today for a chat. Was that loss a big shock to you?
No, it wasn't the biggest shock in the world to me. I had a particular brief, which I was privileged to have. And absolutely, when the then Taoiseach, the current Taoiseach, gave me the offering at the time and asked me to step forward, of course I stepped forward because I knew what I was stepping into. And I did say at home in my own sitting room, I said, if Micheál Martin knows me well enough, there's one brief I will fit. And that was disabilities. And yeah, 5 years of it, five tough years, but worked with amazing people. Like, I had a great team in the office, Noel Byrne. I had a great constituency team. And believe it or not, the people that I met on a daily basis. But the reality was, when you asked me, was it a shock? No was the answer. Because we were coming from such a low base, Andrea. And I always said that, and I did my research, I'd be into my bit of research. When the Disability Act came in 2005, from then to now, bar Finian, who stepped out of politics, all other disability ministers lost their seat.
Really?
Yep. So that just tells you, and there's a huge challenge in disabilities.
But can you, can you equate performance in a given portfolio or department to how the electoral vote? Because I suppose, you know, it's not the nationwide voting on you know, your performance or any other minister's performance in a department. It's, I suppose, for you, it's the home areas, the Galway East constituency.
Absolutely. And I suppose when we were on the doors, people were absolutely phenomenal. We covered a lot of the doors. People are fantastic. But Andrea, just think back to that particular time as well. Disabilities ran for 10 days in the news during during the election campaign. And we remember Cantorque. So as I knocked on doors, people wanted to know what was my opinion. We weren't discussing the policies or anything else that related to East Galway, or what were we doing in relation to infrastructure, buses, schools or anything else like that. We were discussing disabilities.
So that day in late November on election day, and the public go out and cast their vote on Friday, and Saturday morning comes, you know, like I know from our perspective, it's a big day for us working in media. I know, of course, our listeners are tuned in, they're dipping in and out to their respective constituents. What did election day look like for you? Like, what did you do that day?
I actually canvassed all day in Portumna trying to get the vote out in Portumna. Portumna was very challenging this time because there was two other candidates. One running for the main Fine Gael party, and there was one then running, campaigning, to be quite honest with you, about a gas plant. And so I had three candidates. In the past, I would have had Portumna to myself. So was a good crowded field. So I spent the day canvassing people going up and down to vote at the local national school. Because if you don't get the home vote, you don't get elected.
So that's election day. And then we're into count day. Did you go to the constituency?
Nope.
No, you didn't. And at what point, Anne, at what point did it become, you know, maybe obvious or clear to you that you weren't getting the bounce in the right direction, or it wasn't going your way that Saturday?
I suppose really the bounce needed to happen when the candidate, the Fine Gael candidate, was exiting. The bounce needed to come to me that I needed the 1,000 votes to come to me, and actually only 500 did. 500 went to my running mate in the same party in North Galway, believe it or not. And that, to me, was, that was a game up at that stage, because I should have been able to hold that vote. And whether that vote was a vote in Portumna, I'm not saying it was by any manner of means in Portumna, but that vote was definitely a Loch Ray vote that would have flung north.
And you were the sitting TD, you were sitting minister. Like, it, you know, I suppose when I'm trying to, you know, talk to you and get a sense of the human aspect of all of this, and not just for you, but Stephen Donnelly and so many other TDs as well that didn't keep their seats. Your running mate was Albert Dolan, 25 years of age, first election.
Yeah,
he made it across the line.
He made it across the line, and the best of luck to Albert. Like, you know, what I'm trying to say. So I suppose really, when I wasn't holding the votes in the south of the constituency, and now, believe it or not, what has ended up happening, we have senators, we don't have any TD or minister in the south of the constituency. Galway East is a big, big constituency. Mm. Galway as a county is phenomenal. I get quicker to come here to Dublin to work than I would be if I had to go out to Clifton to work, because it's just the way the traffic through the city, and it's just the geography of the county. So yes, we there was the Fianna Fáil seat. We were going for two, and to be quite honest, we had the percentage votes to elect two, but perhaps it wasn't managed well, Andrea. Like, sometimes you have to look back. You have to look back and you have to say it wasn't managed well.
But I imagine the idea would have been from a headquarters perspective that we've our sitting minister, Anne Rabbit, you know, if we have enough Fianna Fáil votes, we'll try and bring in a running mate. I'm sure the plan was never that the sitting TD or minister is the one that's going to lose out.
Well, absolutely not. And it certainly wasn't the thought on Anne Rabbit's team in East Galway. It certainly wasn't the thought of Ned Borden's or Loretta or Irene or Mary or the 54 other people that are on my WhatsApp group that went out every single day to canvass for me. And we were out every morning at 11 o'clock and we weren't in till 8:30 every night. That was every day.
What the toll of that on family life and the kids at home? I know they're teenagers now, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Secondary era. Did they want you to run again?
Oh, the youngest one at home is very adamant, get out of it. Like, she is very crystal clear.
Really?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Aveen is crystal in her head. So now you'll get a real job, Mum. Not a real job in the sense, a job outside of politics. Whereas Fiacra and Caoimhe now, they'd be, and bitter is the wrong word, but they'd like to settle the score. They'd go, well, all right, so you lost this time, you'll win the next time type of effort.
So you will contest a general election again?
Oh, my foot is still there, Andrea. I didn't come back to this, Shannon, I did just to make up the numbers. Micheál Martin knows that. I do believe that we had the percentage votes. Maybe we didn't manage. It's not maybe. We didn't manage.
When you say we, you mean you and Albert Dolan collectively?
I
as
think
a Fianna
we have
Fáil
to
team.
Take. Yeah, the team Fianna Fáil have to take full responsibility for that. And at the end of the day, Team Rabbit, Team Dolan, and need to review the fact that we had it. When I look down to Norma Foley in Kerry, and I see she came in with exactly the same percentage votes, and two of them got elected. Mm. And at all times, let's be clear about this here. At all times, you're ambitious for the party. You're ambitious that you would return your two seats.
You want to take the seat yourself as well. There's no harm in saying that, you know.
Absolutely. And it wasn't that people are vote on politics. So the vote person, the vote politics. Mm. And it's great to see that there was such a high preference for first preference votes for Fianna Fáil. And well done to Albert. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Do you have a good relationship?
We have a relationship.
Right, yeah. So you know him well, though, from the constituency.
I would have encouraged Albert Dolan to get into politics. Like, I remember when Albert, when I first met him, like, he was involved in his dad's campaign. He tells it very, very well. He's involved in his dad's campaign. I think he was quite young at the time. And I remember meeting him and I said, God, he would only been 15, 16. Mm. And then I said, Albert, you'll go all the way. And he did go all the way. And he's a great lad. And he's a lovely, personable young man. He has something I don't have. He is your new form of communicator. He communicates really, really well on TikTok. I'm not as nice and shiny on TikTok and I don't do it as well. And that's not my audience as much, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I want to get a sense of you know, the challenges. It's not just, by the way, for you. It's for sure other people that ran and lost out, or maybe first time candidates. And like, yes, you know, when you look at the male and the female disparity in that too, is it harder for women to keep a seat?
Is it harder?
Are the public more critical?
Well, Andrea, let's be honest about it. Like, even the comments this morning, the fact that you tweeted out that we were having the conversation today, the commentary would be about it. Like, I was rejected by the electorate. I was rejected for the Senate, and here she is getting a Taoiseach's nominee. That sort of thing. Does that, maybe it happens to the men as well, but by Jesus, I feel it's, I get a fair share of it. I feel I get it. When I got nominated by the Taoiseach, I was delighted to be nominated to the Senate. He knows the value I'll bring to the Senate. But at the same time, I was looking down through all the other people that got nominated as well. And I was going, oh my God, this is embarrassing for me now and for the poor Taoiseach, because I have 200, 300 comments under me, and not one of them is really a positive one. There was about 300 negative comments, everything to do from rejection to your weight to how you look. I think I was equated to Miss Piggy. I was equated to Shrek's wife. And thank God I am thick skinned. So for all of you who feel that the pile on will drive me out of politics, let me tell you today, it won't.
It's very hard, the one. Like, you're human. Oh, I've had some of I've had some experience of that kind of commentary myself. And like, you know, let's call a spade a spade. It's hard. Like, it is hard.
It's hard and it's targeted. Would it be as much at the male side of it? I don't know, because I'm a female and I'm receiving it as a female. But do they, like, but when I look down at the profiles of the flowers and the thorns and the thistles of the emblems that are there to refer to these people, and I'm going, do you give it the same batterton to everyone? I don't know.
Yeah, but you'd have some insight from talking to colleagues. I know some of my male colleagues would have told me that they don't get the same kind of
my good
personal
friend,
comments.
My good friend and now government chief whip, Mary Butler, doesn't do Facebook at all. She attracts no commentary on it. She doesn't do her Twitter handle. Somebody else does it for her. And that's how she protects her mental well-being. And you know what? Mary's right, to be quite honest with you. Maybe I'm just a bit more nosier or whatever like that.
Yeah.
But the lads don't get it. Like, I'd be very friendly. I have a good working relationship with a lot of my male colleagues.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't get that. No, they don't.
Just want to go back to something when you mentioned there, and you talked about the comments around rejection and the Shannon. And like, it must be hard to, you know, you go through an election, a general election campaign, and then you pick yourself up and you go out and you go around the country meeting councillors and parliamentary party, and you look for votes off them. And if that then doesn't go your way, how does the nomination from the Taoiseach come about? Because I was reading at the weekend that your party colleague, also in Galway, different constituency, Grainne Shoiga, she wrote to Micheál Martin. Like, is that what you do? Do you write to him and ask him, I have a nomination?
Well, my experience with Micheál was nothing but been very supportive to me, to be quite honest with you, because the day I lost my seat, he did ring me. We had a talk. He says, and I'm going to ring you back later on. And he did ring me back, and he had another conversation, and he rang me back again the next day. And his guidance was fantastic. He says, you'll dust yourself down. And he says, and by the end of the week, he says, you'll be on that Senate campaign. I go, Jesus, Micheál, I can't be. I'm not able for it. Oh God, I'm wrecked. I'm exhausted. He says, no, no. He says, you're well fit for this. Out you go, he said, and put your best foot forward. He says, sure, you're not done yet with politics. And he was very encouraging.
Okay.
So that's how, I suppose, to be honest with you, that was it. And I do know you are expected to show intent. That's what, and that would be no different for a man or a woman. Joe Flaherty would do exactly the same thing. If you're really serious
they're
about
hungry
this,
for it.
Get out there and show it.
I want to ask you a little bit about your portfolio, because, in fairness, I will say this over certainly my time here in the show, when listeners get in touch with very personal, very difficult situations and issues, probably a lot of them would have fallen under your department in the area of disabilities. You know, you were good with your time and you'd come in and answer listener questions. But like, even I was reading this week, we'd 620 children waiting more than a year to get access to CAMHS, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services. Only yesterday, I'm reading in the Independent, waiting list for parents requesting an assessment of needs for their kids. That's grown 60% in just a year. Like, do you look back and think, what progress did we make?
Yeah, well, see Andrea, the reality was, in 2020-21, we cleared an entire waiting list. An entire witness, 6,800 kids, we got them seen to. But see, the funny thing is, political cycles comes in the 5 years or the 4 years sort of scenario. So when I came in as minister, it had been approved that they were going to do the PTA, which was the shortened version, and roll it on Colette. 6 or 10 months later, somebody challenged it in the court. The court says, actually, no. That isn't successful, and you had to start all over again.
This was on the primary assessments.
Yes, exactly. So you were just after clearing a list through the old system that could have been up to 32 hours. We had a dawn, okay? And then all of a sudden, the kids that were that had started there in the February when I had started, because the PTA had been written in as the direction that the HSE were going on, I was here clearing a list under the old system, thinking that the current methodology was tried and tested, that this was the direction of travel, investing the energies into it, having the lines reassured in parents, to discover that a year and a half later, brought to the courts, failed in the courts. And now we're back with lists going on and going on, and nobody's coming forward.
So can we not get a handle on it? Like, who? Like, will the next minister or government be able to do anything if you couldn't do it?
I have no doubt it is a priority for the leader, for Taoiseach Micheál Martin. And to be honest with you, there's no one solution will fix it all. There has to be a number of approaches to it, because your lists have grown, interventions haven't happened, and kids are in school.
I heard Jennifer Carl McNeil talking about consultants and hours. Is that the way to go about it?
I think the way to go to it is, and Micheál is definitely right, is putting the assistant therapist back into the schools. To be fair to Bernard Loster, when he came in, he was so supportive, and David Walsh, they really wanted a system to work. But going back to the assessment of needs, unless you have a twin track approach at the moment using private and public system, you won't get to the bottom of it. And we saw the productivity last June when the Taoiseach, then Simon Harris, released 10 million euros. That 10 million euros was spent really, really well on assessment of needs, because then you could compare and contrast what was the HSE delivering and what was the private therapist. And I could tell you that I could see 400 therapies being done in June, 400 more in July, August. All of a sudden, I could see the list coming down. And actually, in 4 months, I had as much done in privately as I'd done in the previous 8 months through the HSE.
What's the one thing you look just finally on that, Anne, and think, you know, I'm really annoyed that we didn't get that across the line and we didn't fix this?
I am annoyed that one of the things I would have said is that I would like to have done private therapy sooner, to be quite honest with you. My regional assessment hubs, that was my suggestion. Like, it wasn't that somebody came and says, would you please sign off on this? The regional assessment hubs is a really good idea, how you can have a coordinated approach where everybody was around the table, primary care, mental health and disabilities. And actually, we need more assessment officers to ensure. See, at the moment, there's a backlog of some of the assessments completed, but not signed off by assessment officers who are HSE, who hold the risk. We need more of them.
Just finally, you've said that you're staying in politics. You're obviously a senator now. You will run in the next general election. Was there ever a point that you thought, I'm just fed up with this, sick of it?
No, because I would equate being in politics as representing. And see, some people would say about, oh, you're a career politician. I had a career before I came into politics. I worked in banking for 24 years. I chose to go into public service. And the reason I chose to go into public service was to represent. And representing is representing for my parish, representing for my part of South Galway, representing for the whole of East Galway, but representing for balanced regional development, but also representing for the person who doesn't have a voice. I feel very strongly that I'm gifted, that I have been gifted a voice, that I can speak, I can articulate, I can adjudicate. I feel I have a duty to the child that's in care, to the person that has the disability, to the person that is in a care setting that doesn't have anybody to represent for them. I think it's important that I like to brand myself as the social justice side of within the Fianna Fáil party. That's needed. Nobody has a monopoly of caring for people. I think we all do.
Okay. Anne Rabbit, listen, thanks a million for coming in for a chat today with us on the programme. Senator Anne Rabbit, the email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on Newstalk.